Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on ESPN 97.7 is also brought to you by O'Neill Gas, Brister's Smokehouse, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Ideal Portable Buildings, and Scott Seafood. Text us on the Fairway Carts text line at 888-993-7762. Here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
Welcome in to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I am your host, Ben Carlisle, joined live in studio by my co-host, Sutton Davison. Here we are. It's game week. Northwestern State comes to the Joe Saturday night at 6 p.m. in what should be one of the best crowds of the season.
Yeah, you got to hope that the Tech faithful comes out strong here in the opening week. I know we got some bad weather in the forecast, but it's looking to move on and get out of the way before Saturday. And that just brings us to a quick point. We just want to say from all the folks here at Bleed Tech Blue, our prayers and thoughts are going out to everybody in the Houston area. And I just want to give a quick plug. If you want to help out in any way, you can call 1-800-HELP-NOW. That's 1-800-435-7669. Join the efforts down there in Southeast Texas and extend your hand to folks in need. But yeah, Ben, we're looking forward to a great weekend here in Ruston at the Joe, hoping to pack it out, hoping to start this season off right, the Tech faithful.
Oh yeah, it should be a fun weekend for sure. You look at Northwestern State coming in, a team that's really struggled in 2016 to the tune of 1-10. Coach Jay Thomas is in his fifth season at the helm for the Demons. They're really looking to change some things up. I know they have a new offensive coordinator, a new defensive coordinator who's actually Ruston native, former Ruston High head coach Brad Laird. I believe it's his second stint as the defensive coordinator for the Demons. So it should be a good matchup. Hopefully Tech can really, you know, take control early. I know Coach Skip Holtz is really – he mentioned to us numerous times in the press conference today that 2014 doesn't really mean a lot in 2017. He really bluntly said his team's really focused. They're really trying to avenge that loss and take care of business Saturday night.
Yeah, it's no surprise that they came in here in 2014 and they upset a Tech team that probably undervalued them and took them for granted a little bit. And Skip said today in the press conference, not even a lot of these guys were even around then. It doesn't mean a lot. And they're just looking to go 1-0 this week.
Yeah, they're looking to go 1-0, and you know they have a great opportunity. It's pretty clear Northwestern's not – really the cream of the crop, even in the Southland Conference. I know Coach Holtz mentioned looking back at that loss in 2014, it was really a turning point for the program. They had a 4-8 season in 2013, a rough start to the 2014 season with the loss to Northwestern. Then they went on the road at Auburn. Jordan-Hare Stadium's a tough place to win, obviously. And then they reeled off 7 or 8 in a row to win the Conference USA West Division title before playing Marshall in the conference championship, and they came up a little short, but it's definitely a turning point for the program.
Yeah, a lot of people say that one Northwestern game kept Tech from a 10-win season, but what Skip said is that it might have propelled them to the 9-win season that they had. That game right there started a fire under a team that rattled off, like you said, 6 or 7 straight to go 9-3 on the year. And so Northwestern State or not, this is a tone setter week. This is a time to light that fire and to try to reel off 6 or 7 more.
Yeah, it's also an opportunity for Coach Holtz and his staff to get a lot of guys that are pretty green behind the ears, a lot of playing time. You know, a lot of Bulldog fans are really excited to see what Jamar Smith can do at quarterback. It's obviously been talked about, you know, it's so great that Jamar is going to be the quarterback for 3 straight years. But, you know, he really needs to establish himself as a starter. He's only thrown 43 collegiate passes, so it'll be good for him to get in there. We've talked a lot about Coach Holtz already in his press conference today. Just previewing the show, Coach Holtz will join us live in the next segment at 6:15, live from football practice tonight as his team's getting set. We'll also be joined at 6:45 by Northwestern State play-by-play announcer Patrick Netherton. And then at 7 o'clock, the head coach of the Duncan Dogs, Eric Conkle, will join us, talk a little bit of Bulldog basketball. I know they released the schedule last week, and they're excited to get things going in just over 2 months.
Yeah, obviously this week is football heavy. Football is here. It's fall, but we're going to take a quick break from that around 7 o'clock, talk to Eric Conkle, get a preview of this year's basketball schedule, take a look at those games, what stands out, and maybe a little bit about what his roster is looking like going into this season.
Yeah, and throughout the show also we'll touch on, you know, we'll have some over-under predictions statistically for the Bulldogs when you look at some of the key positions, both offensively and defensively, that, you know, will lead to a successful season. We also want to encourage folks, get out, buy your tickets today. We'll talk with Coach Holtz. He's really pushing. He wants to see the Joe sold out. If not this week against Northwestern State, it should be sold out against Mississippi State for the first time in the history of the Joe. You know, we'll obviously get into some more talk about Northwestern State as well.
Absolutely. And also, Coach Holtz and his staff have released the depth chart for Game 1. The starters are out and in the public light, so we're going to take a look at that. And maybe look at some surprises, maybe some guys who are unproven but are getting that first start, and we'll walk through the starting lineup for this week on the Louisiana Tech football team and just kind of go through what we like, what we don't, and what we can expect.
Yeah, and let's get into this Northwestern State matchup a little bit. When you look at the history of these two schools, they've matched up 78 times on the gridiron. Maybe one of Tech's biggest rivals back in the day. Not so much lately. I believe the 2014 matchup was one of the only matchups probably in the last 20, 25 years. Tech's really controlled the series throughout the entirety of the rivals by way of 53 wins against 20 losses and 5 ties. The first matchup was in 1907.
The old State Fair game.
Yeah, the year before the Chicago Cubs won that elusive World Series championship.
So these two teams have been going at it for quite some time.
Yeah, so it's an exciting matchup. You look at a Northwestern team, they'll be breaking in a new starting quarterback themselves. Halton native J.D. Allman, be a fifth-year quarterback. He saw a little bit of playing time towards the end of 2016, but you know, there's not a lot of tape out on him, so it might be hard for Tech to prepare for them.
Yeah, there's not a lot of tape, period. I mean, Skip touched on that today. Going into this first game, it's tough to have enough tape on anybody, especially a team like Northwestern State that doesn't return, you know, a lot of guys that played there last year on offense. And so Skip said, hey, we don't have these games to look at where we've seen what they've done against somebody else. We're kind of, you know, going out there and hoping to just set the tone on our end early and get it going like that.
Yeah, and Northwestern State, they led the Southland Conference in rushing last year. They struggled mightily through the air. They only threw for about 178 yards a game. They have new offensive coordinator. They're obviously going to look to continue to run the football. But when you talk about running the football, you better hope that you're picking up yards, because if Tech does get the ball back in their hands, we know they're going to be explosive.
Yeah, and we don't have a lot of sure things back on the offensive side of the ball for Tech, but what we do have is a ton of potential. I mean, you look at – we've already talked endlessly about Jamar Smith, and we'll get into that more with Coach Holtz in just a little bit. But, I mean, the receiver core that this team has is not only deep but talented all the way through. I mean, we all know Carlos Henderson, Trent Taylor, they're playing on Sundays, and, you know, we can't have the assurance of throwing to those guys every single play. So you're going to see some different names, some different numbers, but also some you recognize that are going to step up in a big way.
Yeah, and we'll fill you in on some of those names that you'll see as well. One thing, just looking at the stats as far as the returners for Tech, I find it interesting that Jared Kraft is the leading rusher and the leading receiver returning.
I noticed that.
Not often do you see that, but that just shows you how much Tech lost from that historic offense that they had in 2016. So we'll talk to Holtz in the next segment, and we'll see how he's looking to replace those guys. I know that he's not really expecting it to be just one guy, like you mentioned, with such a deep receiving core.
Yeah, you look at a Northwestern State team also that at the beginning of every season, you know, they're used to playing these money games. They're used to playing at Baylor, at Texas, at Oklahoma, at TCU. And, I mean, with all due respect, they're not looking to win those games. They're looking to further the program, make some money, and go on home. And I think it's not to be overstated that this, you know, this team's playing a game in state against a team that they played not so long ago with a storied rivalry. And so this isn't a team from Northwestern State to sleep on. I mean, they're not expecting to lose this game. They've got a little bit of confidence from the last time they played. You know, that locker room has been talking about 2014, been talking about how good it felt to walk into Joe A. Stadium and come out with a win. And so I don't think that Tech fans or the Tech players should overlook this Northwestern State team this weekend.
Obviously not. No, you can't ever overlook a team in college football, especially on week one of the season. We've all seen it way back when Appalachian State upsets Michigan in the Big House. It's not as rare in today's college football to see an FCS program come into an FBS program, pull off an upset, get out of there, and then they have years to brag about it because usually the FBS team doesn't want to play them again. But Tech will have their opportunity to really, you know, get some quote-unquote revenge, and I'm hoping this game ends up ugly, to be quite honest.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the pressure obviously not, you know, is to look ahead to Mississippi State. We can't do that just yet. We've got to go 1-0 and figure out how to, you know, handle Mississippi State in the Joe next week. But we're not here to talk about Mississippi State this week. We're going to hit Northwestern State. We're going to preview this matchup for you with a team that you may not know a whole lot about. We're going to talk to Patrick Netherton, the play-by-play guy for the Northwestern State Demons. He's going to fill us in on what we can expect from that team in just a little bit.
Yeah, and one other thing I'll touch on with Northwestern State. Last year, I believe they averaged around 63 plays per game, which is a slower offense, whether it be in Division I, in Division II, even in Division III these days. So this year with Kyle Manley at offensive coordinator in his first year, Coach Thomas has really given him the reins to speed things up. Whether it'll be chaotic for the Demons Saturday night in their first live game action is to be determined, but I can't imagine them being a fine-tuned machine, breaking in a new quarterback, breaking in a new running back in Chris Jones after leading rusher DeMar Loren is gone. So it'll definitely be an adjustment for Northwestern, and hopefully that hostile Joe IA Stadium crowd really gets them rattled as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think an interesting stat is that these two defenses actually allowed the exact same points per game last year. The Northwestern State defense allowed 33.6 points per game, as did the Bulldog defense, which we know left a lot to be desired out there. So both of these defenses coming off tough years. Obviously, we got a familiar face on that other sideline in Coach Brad Laird from Ruston High School. I know a lot of folks around here really love and respect the Laird family, and it'll be fun to see him back where he belongs, so to speak. And then, hopefully the Louisiana Tech defense can shrink that number a little bit from 33.6 down to something that we think could win us a couple more ball games.
Yeah, and you know, Brad Laird's really looking to establish that Purple Swarm defense. They were really good under his tutelage. I believe it was back in 2011 when he used to lead the Demons. But I'm excited. You know, it's game week. What more can we be excited about? And Bulldog football is back.
It's back. And we've got to get – I mean, come on, Ruston. Come on out to the game. Like Ben said, buy your tickets. Call the ticket office. If you haven't done so, reserve them today. I know that – the temptation is to grab them on game day, but these two first two games are going to go quicker than we think.
Yeah, and we're going to get to a quick break. Before the break, we've had a quick change in schedule. Skip will join us at 6:30 instead of in the next segment at 6:15. So Skip Holtz will come up at 6:30, so make sure you're tuned in. But we're going to take a quick timeout. I'm Ben Carlisle. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.
For years, serious hunters around here have gotten close to that big buck on a Bad Boy Buggy from Fairway Carts in Minden. Well, Bad Boy Buggy has a new name, Textron Off-Road, still committed to providing the same power, range, and stealth you demand. Textron Off-Road side-by-sides are whisper quiet, have plenty of distance for wherever you hunt, excellent steering, and deliver a great ride. Hey, you just need to come test ride one to see for yourself. And you can count on Fairway Carts to have the selection you want and always make you a great deal. 2018 models are rolling in, so remaining 17s are priced to move with big rebates and low interest financing with approved credit. Come put a deposit down on one today, then pick it up September 1st during the sales tax holiday and save even more. All the reasons you want a Bad Boy Buggy now wrapped up in a new name, Textron Off-Road. Trailer yours home from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART or go to fairwaycarts.net.
You cheer for your team. You root for your team. You live for your team. You're a Louisiana Tech fan. Your Louisiana Tech Dairy Queen restaurants in Monroe, West Monroe, Ruston, Bossier City, and Shreveport invite you to try our fan food favorites. Locally owned and operated by Louisiana Tech alumni, Dairy Queen is proud of all Louisiana Tech athletes. Come by one of our locations and support the businesses who support Louisiana Tech. Dairy Queen, fan food, not fast food.
ESPN 97.7 is presented by the injury attorney Jeff Guerrero in Monroe. If you or someone you love has been injured in an accident or a victim of medical malpractice, you need to go Guerrero.
Hey, this is Sean Fox, sports director here at ESPN 97.7, inviting you to join me and the rest of the sports company every day, Monday through Friday, from 3 to 6 for our unique, unfiltered take on the world of local and national sports. We're going to make you laugh. It might make you cry, and there's a pretty good chance at some point I'm going to make you mad. But we're going to have a lot of fun along the way. That's The Sports Company, Monday through Friday from 3 to 6, right here in your home for sports in North Louisiana, ESPN 97.7.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries, just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. It's your boy Sutton Davison here with my co-host Ben Carlisle. Hey, want to encourage you to call or text the Fairway Cards hotline at 888-993-7762. We're going to be talking about a lot of Louisiana Tech game week material. We want to hear what you have to say, what your thoughts are. Get on here, engage us. We might argue with you, but it'll be fun. We can promise you that. Hey, this morning, Ben and I got to sit in on Coach Skip Holtz's weekly game press conference, and he touched on a lot of things. And also, he released the depth chart for the week. So what we're going to do is we're going to walk through the depth chart a little bit, take a look at a couple guys who are surprises to get the start this week and a couple guys who we expect big things out of.
Yeah, we'll start offensively. It's an offense that averaged 44 points a game last year. But it's definitely a new group of guys. When you look at the offensive line, one guy I'm really excited about is 6'8", 320-pound right tackle Jawight Stallworth. He's going to be a mauler in the run game. I'm excited to see what he can do. It's going to be tough for him to hold up against pass pressure, especially against some of the premier defensive ends that Tech's going to face this year, whether it be Mississippi State, whether it be Western Kentucky. But he's one guy I'm really excited to see on the offensive line.
Yeah, this is an extremely experienced offensive line. These are guys who have been around for a while, got 3-4 years of experience under their belt. Heck, we've got a redshirt senior over there at left tackle in Josh Outlaw, who's going to protect Jamar's blind side. And I'm just excited about starting up front with a good, experienced group of guys and some really, really good young backups, if they're ever needed.
Yeah, and you look at O'Shea Dugas at left guard along with Ethan Reed, and then you mentioned Joshua Outlaw. Those three on that make up the center, the left guard, the left tackle, they have tons of experience. Dugas has started since he was a true freshman. I would expect that to be the strongest side of the line. And when you look at right guard Shane Carpenter, he's moved inside from right tackle to right guard. I think that better suits his skill set. He struggled against a pass rush that was, a speed rush off the edge. So, like you mentioned, Tech has a really good defensive line. I think they can go 8, 9, 10 deep and be really effective.
Yeah, and one thing that we forget a lot about is that almost every year there's an offensive lineman from Louisiana Tech in an NFL camp, on an NFL roster, doing NFL things. And
yeah.
So, I mean, I think that there's a couple of guys on this roster here that have not only NFL size but an NFL skill set as well. Maybe not draftable guys, but guys who can slide into NFL camps and make a team.
Yeah, you look at Darryl Brown. He's in camp for the Seahawks.
Absolutely.
He was a 3-4-year starter at left tackle. I saw Seattle lost their left tackle a couple weeks ago, George Fant. So he could find his way onto a roster. But shifting to the running back position, Jared Kraft, Boston Scott, Jacquees Dancy, they'll make up the top three running backs. I think it'll be more of a two-headed monster with Kraft and Scott, but they had a big year in 2016, and I'm expecting some big things in 2017.
Yeah, I'm naming this group the Factory. I called it a bunch of blue-collar guys who will do what it takes to win. If that means sharing carries, if that means sharing goal line touches, we've got our Thunder and Lightning, Kraft and Scott, the Factory, pumping out results.
And not the most talented group. Boston's a former walk-on. Kraft's a lightly recruited kid out of Halton. Even contributed as a true freshman. I think he had 50, 60 carries behind Kenneth Dixon. And he showed Bulldog fans last year how talented he is, whether it's running the football between the tackles or catching the ball out of the backfield.
Yeah, before Dak Prescott was handing the ball off to Ezekiel Elliott, he was handing it off to Jared Kraft. Don't forget about that. So let's move on to the receiver group. I know we've talked about this a couple times, but this could be one of the deepest groups on the team, if not the deepest group in the conference. I know that this Tech team is one that, it's no surprise, lost two of its biggest playmakers last year to the NFL in Carlos Henderson and Trent Taylor. Trent led the country with 1,800 yards receiving. Carlos was, I think, two or three right behind him with 1,500 yards receiving. And we may not have another 1,800 yard receiver or another 1,500 yard receiver, but it's looking like we're going to have quite a few 500 or 600 yard receivers.
Over or under 1,100 yards, 10 touchdowns for Teddy Veal.
Teddy Veal, man, I don't know if it's too early, but I'm excited about him. 1,100 yards. Did you say, what'd you say?
10 touchdowns.
1,100 yards, 10 touchdowns. You know what? I think that's pretty reasonable, honestly. I mean, it all depends on how Jamar Smith comes out and plays, but there's no question that Teddy Veal is going to be a playmaker. If you haven't watched his highlights from Tulane, get on the YouTubes and look that up.
Yeah.
Because he's an electric playmaker. I mean, I've heard him compared to a mix between Carlos Henderson and Trent Taylor, and if that's the case, then we can expect big things.
Yeah, I'll definitely take the over on that. I think he's going to have a big year. I think he's going to be Jamar's safety blanket. Looking at a couple other receivers, Marlon Watts is back for his senior year. I think he'll do some better things than he's shown throughout his last 3 years.
Rangy guy.
Yeah, Alfred Smith will be in the slot. He'll take that Trent Taylor spot. He's had a nice fall camp. And then one guy I'm excited about, Redshirt Junior, 6'2", 220. He looks 230, 240
absolutely
to me. But Cam McKnight going over the middle, I think he has a chance to have a big year.
Yeah, I mean, something about these Tech receivers, they just always play above their talent level and they always play above their size. But Cam McKnight's one of those who is just about the perfect size for a great slot receiver. I think we've gotten used to those slot receivers being smaller guys, Trent Taylor bodies, you know, even thinking back to the Andrew Giotts of the world. But Cam McKnight's a big bruising guy, a rangy guy at 6'2", 225. Like you said, looks about 235 in the uniform, and he's scary over the middle. So look for him and guys like Alfred Smith, Marlon Watts, like you said, Marcus Gaines, a smaller guy but one who can, you know, provide some speed out there on the outside to be some prime targets for Jamar Smith and rolling them in and out in two separate groups even.
Yeah, and shifting real quick to the quarterbacks before we get to defense, Jamar's obviously the starter. Weston Elliott, Blinn Junior College, he's a sophomore.
Just earned him a scholarship.
Yes, just earned a scholarship after an outstanding fall camp. He's kind of that diamond in the rough type guy that Skip's so good at finding. I'm excited to see, you know, if he can get some playing time Saturday night against Northwestern State. He's definitely earned an opportunity to see a few snaps.
Yeah, and Skip said this today. They went into spring practice with three quarterbacks, and they came out of spring practice with one quarterback. We had two guys, you know, decide that they would rather play somewhere else. And so rather than panic, you know, we had a guy like Weston Elliott come in from Blinn Junior College and jump in, 6'5", 220s, got that prototypical quarterback body you look for, looks good in the pads, and has got the game to back it up too. Yeah.
Shifting to defense, you look along the defensive line, Jalen Ferguson's back, 14.5 sacks, 20.5 sacks in his career. I believe he's 17.5 away from the Tech record.
He is.
Over under 17.5 sacks in 2017 for Jalen Ferguson.
I don't think that it's out of the question to catch Walter Johnson's 30-year-old record. I really don't. And you look at a guy like Matt Broha, who was here from 08 to 11, who finished his career with 22 sacks. He'll for sure get past maybe after this first game.
Yeah.
And you know, Jalen's going for the top. Walter Johnson is not safe.
If Jalen Ferguson goes 17.5 sacks in 2017, book him in the top 10 in the NFL draft.
The top 10.
Top 10 first-rounder. He's got the body, 6'5", 255. They'll get him to 270. He's one of the elite pass rushers in the country.
That might be the hot take of the week, and we haven't even gotten there yet.
Yeah, we might. But shifting to the defensive tackle, Jordan Bradford returns for his junior year. He's steady in the middle. Another surprise name, sophomore Kadarion Mason. Was a big signee out of Macomb, Mississippi in the 2016 class. He's earned his way onto the field, and we'll see what he can do inside. Looking at opposite Jalen Ferguson, Deldrick Canty, he's steady.
Solid.
Not a premier pass rusher, but he can really defend the run.
Yeah, and shifting over to those linebackers, you've got senior Russell Ferris, who's been a staple on this defense for quite some time now. He's, you know, the captain of that defense in a lot of ways. And then newcomers Brandon Derman and Colin Scott, of guys that have been battling it out for that second linebacker starting role this fall, and it looks like we're going with Dermon in the first game.
Dermon will get the nod. I think he had a little over 40 tackles last year. He's a junior. He's had a little playing time throughout his two-year career, but him along with Colin Scott, they should make up a nice middle linebacker core. I think you could see Scott on the field a little more in passing situations, but the Tech linebackers, going with just two linebackers, they should be improved. Shifting to the safety spot, Elliot Blankenship, senior walk-on, he'll get his first. He'll get a start against Northwestern State. Darryl Lewis will get another start at a safety spot.
Yeah, those are guys who've been grinding it out on special teams for a while and have earned their spot.
Yep,
and good for them.
At the other safety spot, Damarian King, junior college player from last year, really, really good against the run. We'll see how he is against the pass. Hopefully he's improved. We know that Bulldog defense needs it.
Yeah, and one name that obviously is missing is Cedric Cooper.
Day-to-day.
You guys know him. He's one of the captains of that Tech defense. He's dealing with a little hamstring, but he'll be back pretty shortly. And why not give him a week of rest?
Yeah. To the cornerback position, this is one spot we wanted to touch on. We might touch on it a little more heavy later in the show. We're running a little short on time this segment, but true freshman Amik Robertson, the prize of the 2017 class, will make his first collegiate start Saturday night.
I want to talk to Skip more about Amik, and we will do that here in just a few minutes, but I think Amik is a guy that we can expect to be one of those playmakers for a long time that we you know, maybe end up losing to the NFL draft one day.
Yeah, and opposite Amik will be Trey Spencer. Those two guys will be backed up by Shreveport native Aaron Roberson, cornerback Mike Sam. And those two are, you know, they're going to make up a cornerback group that's going to be talented. But we're going to get to a quick timeout. After the break, we'll be joined by Skip Holtz.
Absolutely. We're going to pitch our sponsors here just a second. O'Neill Gas, Brister Smokehouse, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen. And we will be right back on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Stay with us.
National Bank, the uncommon bank. Banking on a first-name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank. The Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
The deals are heating up during the summer clearance event at Brennan Dodge in Ruston with 0% for 72 on all 17 Ram 1500 Crew Laramie 4x4s, or save 20% off MSRP. Get a 17 Ram Quad Express for $29.9. A 17 Ram 2500 Crew 4x4 is only $35.9, and 17 Ram Crew Bighorn has $6,500 in rebate. Our selection is great, so don't miss the summer clearance event at Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke-cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Choosing Walpole Tire Service ensures you'll find the complete line of Goodyear, Bridgestone, Firestone, Michelin, BF Goodrich, Continental, Toyo, or Nitto tires. Stop those squeaks, rattles, or pulls with Walpole Tire Service state-of-the-art alignment equipment and ASE-certified technicians. Our 60-year reputation proves Walpole repairs your vehicle right the first time. The best service, a better selection, Walpole Tire Service. East Georgia Avenue, Ruston, Warren Drive, West Monroe. Or visit walpoletire.com.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm your host, Ben Carlisle, joined live in studio by my co-host, Sutton Davison. We are now joined on the Fairway Cards hotline by head coach of the Bulldogs, Skip Holtz. How you doing tonight, Coach?
I'm doing great, Ben. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. Just to get things kicked off, I just want to ask you, when you look at the opening of the Davison Athletic Complex in 2015 and the press box that's opening up in just a few short days. Talk a little bit about what these facility improvements have meant for your program and the university over the last couple of years.
Well, I can't tell you what the DAC did here in the end zone. I mean, just the atmosphere that it changed for game day, the fan experience, so many of the people having the opportunity to sit up there. It encloses the sound. It has been a game changer as far as recruiting is concerned, with young men all over the country that have had the opportunity to see this beautiful facility. But you know, one of the things that I probably didn't take into account as much is it's really changed the way our players view themselves every day. Coming to work in a first-class facility like this and having an opportunity to lift, meet, and do the things that we do in this building, I think has made a huge difference. And now we have the opportunity to look at that press box, and there's so many people that their generosity and their care about what happens to this program have made all these facilities happen. And that press box that's going to open, it's going to have a similar impact. It's going to change the game day experience, the atmosphere for everybody. Unfortunately, I won't be able to go up there and sit in it because I'll be down on the field. But I think it's a first-class facility, and I can't wait to see it in operation Saturday.
Coach, speaking of Saturday, we're walking into a game against a Northwestern State team that obviously came in here and won in 2014. But you said today in your press conference, you guys aren't thinking about that. A lot of these guys aren't here anymore. What's the attitude going against a team that maybe you don't have a lot of film on, but is not one to obviously take lightly?
No, you can't take any game lightly. And I think if there's a message from the 2014 game, beat anybody. And I think when you go out and you play sloppy and you turn the ball over and you're not sharp and you're not crisp and you're not mentally into 100% of what you're trying to get done, it's easy to lose in this game. And so I think this is a different team than 2014. As you said, there's a lot of players that on this football team that weren't even here in 2014. But I promise you, the ones that were here remember it. And we are preparing not only for the opening game but for the season. But I think this football team is really excited to have the opportunity to have them play in a live situation in a game-time environment, especially this Saturday against Northwestern State.
Coach, you look back over the past 8, 9, almost 1 year, 1 year ago when Jamar Smith made his first career start at Arkansas. Many Bulldog fans were pandering for him to be the starting quarterback throughout the 2016 season. Obviously, Ryan Higgins had one of the most historic seasons in Louisiana Tech history. Just talk a little bit about Jamar's maturity over the entirety of last season, throughout the spring, and now into the fall, and is he ready to lead your football team?
Well, whether he's ready or not, he's the one that's going to be doing it. So we made that decision during the offseason that he would be the starting quarterback. And, I go back, I thought Jamar, going back to a year ago, had an outstanding performance. He stepped into a very difficult situation as a redshirt freshman in his first start at Arkansas, and I thought the moment wasn't too big for him. I thought his composure, I thought the way he handled himself, the way he led this football team, the decisions that he made, I thought he did an excellent job in the Arkansas game. Now, we ran 40% of the offense probably. We gave him a very small amount to operate on, and he handled it mentally, and he did a great job. And as we have continually broadened that and made it wider and wider, I think he's doing a very good job of picking everything up. But, we're going to find out how he's going to play as a starter. When he's the starter all spring, when he's the starter all fall camp and going through it, how's he going to prepare? How's he going to get ready? How's he going to perform? I think those are all questions to be answered. I mean, Jamar is a phenomenally talented young man. He's got great skills. He's got incredible intangibles. As a sophomore, I'm anxious to watch him go out there and play, but it's still going to be a result-oriented position. He's still got to go out there and be productive and make sure he makes the throws. That's not going to happen just because people say he's got an awful lot of talent. I think the world of him. I think he's going to be really good, and I'm certainly excited to watch him go play this Saturday night.
Yeah, Coach, Jamar's not the only new face we're going to see out there. I mean, we can't overlook the fact that we just lost Trent Taylor and Carlos Henderson to the NFL, and there's going to be a plethora of guys looking to step in and fill that role. Can you talk about your receiver group a little bit and what guys we can look forward to seeing out there, maybe taking a little bit of the pressure off Jamar as he comes into his first full season as a starter?
Well, I think Teddy Veal is going to play a prominent role. He was a transfer that sat out a year that there aren't a lot of people that have seen him play or know about him yet, but I think he has a chance to to really pick up a big part of the load that's been left by Trent and Carlos. I also think a young receiver named Adrian Hardy. And then there's a lot of receivers when you look at that have been here for a while, and guys like Marlon Watts, Marcus Gaines, Rashid Bonnet, Woodard. I mean, there's Dejon Oliver, Cam McKnight. I mean, I go through just so many of these names of these guys that have been here that are doing a nice job, but I don't think you're going to see Louisiana Tech be a two-receiver show like it has been in the past, the last couple of years. I think you're going to see a number of receivers step up. I don't think at this point there's been a lot of them that have just distinguished themselves at playing at such a level that I think that they merit having the ball thrown to them every single play. I think they're getting better and better. They're working extremely hard. And I think, you know, a couple will emerge as we go through the season, and we're going to learn a lot about some of these new faces and how they're going to respond in a starting role and how they're going to respond in game-like atmospheres. So, I'm excited to answer a lot of the question marks we have on this football team as we get out here and play. And receivers is certainly going to be one of those spots that we're going to learn an awful lot about some of these players who have waited for a long time for their turn.
Shifting things over to the defensive side of the ball, it's no secret that your team struggled in 2016 to defend the pass. And one area that you did not struggle was on the defensive line. Jalen Ferguson led that unit with 14.5 sacks. And it's no secret that the defensive line is loaded with tons and tons of depth, whether you look at the defensive end or the defensive tackle position. How do you think that's going to play an advantage for your team when it gets late into the fourth quarters against so many spread offenses that you're going to face throughout Conference USA?
Well, when you get these defensive guys with the size that they're getting now, especially on the front, it's important to be able to keep fresh bodies in the game that can play at a high level. And you talked a little bit about Jalen Ferguson and the great talents and abilities that he has, and Deldrick Candy, and I look at Jordan Bradford, and some of the younger defensive ends who haven't played a starting role, but have really done a nice job for us. Guys like Emmanuel Turner, Matthew Yadarga. I am excited to see Willie Baker and Eric Kinzer play a little bit more this year. I think we're three deep at defensive end, and they all have a chance to play. And the same thing up front on the defensive line. I think we have some depth up there, and some of those guys are getting better and better, and we need them to keep coming to be the type of football team that we want to be. But I think it's going to be really important that our defensive line continues to get better as we go through this fundamentally. But I also think the addition of some of the linebackers, I think the way that Brandon Derman has been playing at inside linebacker along with Russell Ferris, and then you've got some young guys like Colin Scott and Randy Hogan and Davon Washington that I think are going to be really good players. So I'm excited to watch them grow. I'm excited to watch them mature and develop. And I definitely think that our front seven has a chance to still be stout in 2017 as it was in 2016.
Yeah, absolutely, Coach. And you mentioned one of the themes of this year's team is just the unknown. There's a lot of unknowns, questions that you want to see answered. I know one of those is one that we're looking forward to, that a lot of people on our board are looking forward to, and that's seeing true freshman Amik Robertson start there at one of the corner positions. I know you guys were excited to get him in the signing process, and what can we see, what can we look forward to seeing from him, and what he do to separate himself and earn that starting job as a true freshman?
Well, as we came into it, we have all new corners. I mean, we had two senior corners, and when we start to look at names like Trey Spencer that's been there, Aaron Robertson, who redshirted a year ago. We brought in a young man named Mike Sam, who I think is a very talented individual who's definitely going to play there. But we also brought in some freshmen. And I think Amik Robertson has distinguished himself because he's quick, he's athletic, he's got very good ball skills. He plays with a stinger. He plays with a lot of confidence. He plays fast. He makes some mistakes at times as a freshman, but he doesn't let it slow him down. I think he's got a tremendous motor. I think he's got a huge upside, but I really think he's got a chance to be a pretty special player. He comes in here, he's very well coached, he's been around football, he's seen it, and I think I'm anxious and excited to not only watch him play Saturday, but to watch his growth and development as we go through the course of this season as just a freshman who I think has a huge ceiling as a corner.
Coach, looking at Northwestern State, you mentioned in your press conference today that they have a new offensive coordinator in Kyle Manley, obviously a new defensive coordinator in Coach, former Ruston High coach Brad Laird. How difficult is it to prepare for a team when there's not exactly a lot of tape out on them with the offensive philosophies or the defensive philosophies that they are going to use? Is it more of a stance where you just worry about your guys doing their particular job?
Well, I think you have to start there, especially in opening games. You have to start with your team and the way your team performs. I've gone against teams that had new coordinators, but what you have the ability to do is maybe pull some old film up of the coordinators at the previous school, but the offensive coordinator is a first-time coordinator. And then you say, well, we can watch last year's game film to get a pretty good idea on where their talent and their personnel is. And then I look at it, and they have, I think they have six returning starters. You know, I mean, when you start to look at it, well, they have six on defense, and they have eight on offense. I'm sorry, vice versa, change that. They have six on defense and eight on offense. But the thing about it is they have so many transfers and new players. I can't believe they brought in eight guys that are junior college players or transfers on the defensive side alone. So a lot of new names, a lot of new faces that didn't play for them last year. I know that they didn't have the type of season they wanted to. I'm sure they have worked extremely hard from a recruiting standpoint, and obviously putting in the new schemes and what they're going to do as an offense and a defense. And that's the challenge that we have to have. We have to control what we can control. You're not going to be able to attack a whole lot as far as knowing what you're going to get. But you've got to go out and make sure that you can execute with a lot of new faces on your side of the ball as well.
Coach, one more question for you. Let's make it fun for the fans out there. Take us inside the mind of a head coach. It's the first game of the season at home, brand new facilities, you know, looking to excite these fans starting off. Is there pressure on your end to start off that first offensive possession with a big play, with some sort of downfield pass, some sort of trick play, or do you stay methodical, get rid of that pressure to maybe light it up to start and start trying to get through that first quarter mistake free?
You know, I think it's probably a little bit more of a conservative approach. I don't think you go out there and try and throw the double reverse flea flicker pass and score first. I don't think the team that scores first wins. I think the team that has the most points at the end of the game wins. And I think for our team right now, it's probably going to be, when you look at it, you're probably going to be a little bit more conservative and make sure that your players go out and that they can execute. But you also have to go with the flow of the game. You have to see how this game is going to progress, who's going to run the ball, who's going to try and control the clock, where are strengths and weaknesses, how are they going to attack you. Once they put the ball on the tee, I mean, it's take a deep breath, and let's look at what they're giving us. If they load the line of scrimmage and crowd the line of scrimmage and try and play bump and run man and put everybody up in your face, then yes, we'll go deep early. You know, I mean, so I can't sit here and say this is my first 15 to 20 play script, but I don't think you go out there and try and run a bunch of trick plays to begin the game. I think you've got a bunch of young players. You want to settle them down. You want to get them out there. You want to be simple with what you do and give them an opportunity to execute. And as they start feeling more and more comfortable as the game goes on, then obviously you're going to start to add a couple more of the wrinkles as the game goes on.
Well, I know I speak for a lot of Tech fans when we say we're excited to see what 2017 holds for you and for your team. Coach Skip Holtz, thank you so much. Good luck to you this week. Looking forward to Saturday. Hope that weather stays clear for you and that we're able to enjoy an awesome game and an awesome start to a brand new season.
No, I'm certainly looking forward to that. And, you know, you talk about the weather. Just a little thought and a prayer for the people down in Houston with what they're going through with the about a 1,000-year storm, you know, that has come through there and what that's doing to change so many people's lives. And we're just, you know, we're thinking about them. We have a number of players whose parents' families live down there, and they're going through that with everything. So definitely a shout-out to them, and always a pleasure to be on your show. I felt bad. I was supposed to be on here during camp. A meeting went long, and I wasn't able to do it. So I'm just glad we could circle the wagons and make this work, and I look forward to doing this again as we go through the course of the season. But enjoy listening to you. Appreciate the time.
Look forward to it, Coach. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye now.
Coach Skip Holtz, thanks again. As classy as always, issuing, you know, his thoughts and prayers to the people of Houston. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Patrick Netherton, the voice of the Northwestern State Demons, is going to come on and give his preview for what we can expect from that team. But stay with us. Call in Texas on the Fairway Cards Heartline, 888-993-7762. We will be right back.
K-9.
Can you believe hunting season's here? Are you ready? You will be when you call Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales for a custom-built hunting camp or deer stand. Ideal builds to your specs, designed exactly like you want it built. And Ideal always delivers the best price and best quality. Whenever you need to haul it, cover it, or store it, you need Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales. 699-9426. 699-9426. For years, serious hunters around here have gotten close to that big buck on a Bad Boy Buggy from Fairway Carts in Minden. Well, Bad Boy Buggy has a new name, Textron Off-Road, still committed to providing the same power, range, and stealth you demand. Textron Off-Road side-by-sides are whisper quiet, have plenty of distance for wherever you hunt, excellent steering, and deliver a great ride. Hey, you just need to come test ride one to see for yourself. And you can count on Fairway Carts to have the selection you want and always make you a great deal. 2018 models are rolling in, so remaining 17s are priced to move with big rebates and low-interest financing with approved credit. Come put a deposit down on one today, then pick it up September 1st during the sales tax holiday and save even more. All the reasons you want a Bad Boy Buggy now wrapped up in a new name, Textron Off-Road. Trailer yours home from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART or go to fairwaycarts.net.
You cheer for your team. You root for your team. You live for your team. You're a Louisiana Tech fan. You're Louisiana Tech Dairy Queen restaurants in Monroe, West Monroe, Ruston, Bossier City, and Shreveport invite you to try our fan food favorites. Locally owned and operated by Louisiana Tech alumni, Dairy Queen is proud of all Louisiana Tech athletes. Come by one of our locations and support the businesses who support Louisiana Tech. Dairy Queen, fan food, not fast food.
Want to find out stuff about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm Ben Carlisle, your host, joined in studio by my co-host Sutton Davison. We would like to thank a couple of our sponsors, Walpole Tire, Scott Seafood, and Ideal Portable Buildings. We are now joined on the Fairway Carts hotline by Northwestern State Demon play-by-play announcer Patrick Netherton. How are you doing tonight, Patrick?
Good, guys. How are y'all?
We're doing pretty good. First things first, when you look back, you know, everybody's going to point to that 2014 matchup when Northwestern came to Ruston, upset the Bulldogs in a game that went back and forth for much of the night, saw Tech turn the ball over five times. Northwestern's coming off a tough year in 2016. What's really the attitude around the Northwestern program as they head into this weekend against Louisiana Tech?
Well, you know, as a team, the guys, I think, are confident, but you have to be. I mean, when you play Alabama or you play Alabama State, you know, as a player, you have to be confident that you're going to go win that game. The fan base, I think, is cautiously optimistic, and I think the reason there is some optimism is that there's so much unknown about this team going into this season. You know, new coordinators, some new faces in different places, some guys that are returning off of injury, which were really, really a big issue last year for NSU. So I think there's some optimism. I don't know that people think that they're going to necessarily go in and beat Tech, but I think they anticipate going in and at least being more competitive in a money game than they normally are when you go face the likes of Baylor and Ole Miss and Kansas, who the Demons have had to face.
Yeah, I was going to actually touch on that exact thing. You guys are a team that usually does open against a Baylor, a Texas, an Oklahoma, whatever it may be, that money game that, like you said, you always expect to win, but the much less winnable games, this is a game that isn't, you know, one of those Power 5 schools. Does that help the morale at all around the team, and especially the fan base? Or, you know, like you said, is this a team that they feel like they're walking onto an even playing field here at the Joe?
Yeah, I don't know that it's as much an even playing field as it is a more even playing field. I mean, you know, when you go face Baylor under Art Briles or you go to Texas Tech with Mike Leach, you're not getting out of there unless something absolutely catastrophic happens to those guys. But, you know, you can point to 2014. The Demons have beaten ULL in the past. They've beaten ULM in the past. You know, you can point to those and say, look, these are teams that are, yes, FBS level, but it's not that much of a jump to the group of five. level for you know, a good FCS program. I mean, a Sam Houston State would beat a lot of FBS teams. Obviously, NSU is not on Sam's level at this point. But, you know, I think there's a – the players don't really care what the money is. You know, for the administrators, that matters. Okay, you go play Baylor, you're getting paid a heck of a lot more than when you go play Louisiana Tech or Grambling or whatever the case may be. So for the administrators, that matters because that's a lot more money. But for the team, all they see is, hey, this is a team that's not that much better than you. They're, you know, they have good talent, but obviously it's not necessarily a group that's going to blow you away like you would see at a Baylor. You don't go in thinking, okay, we have to play perfection and they have to play their absolute worst for this game to go your way. So I think from the player's standpoint, it's a very big deal to be able to play a more like opponent than if you're going to play a Power 5, especially a top 25 team like the Demons always seem to face.
Yeah, and you look at the offensive side of the ball for Northwestern this year. Obviously, they led the Southland Conference in rushing a year ago. New offensive coordinator, Kyle Manley, is taking over. New quarterback, fifth-year senior quarterback J.D. Allman out of the Halton area. What do you expect to see from the Demons offensively? We've heard a little bit about how they're looking to up the tempo a little bit. Will they be using the passing game a little more, or are we going to see a lot of the same?
I would think you would see a little bit more emphasis on the pass game. You know, look, here's the thing. If you can run the football effectively, most of the time you're going to be a very effective offense. And keep in mind that the offensive coordinator the last several years was an old offensive lineman. So his thought process was always, hey, let's run the ball first. And the Demons have had a bevy of really good running backs, including DeMar Lorenz, who just left and just got cut by the L.A. Rams. So, you know, there's a bevy of those guys that Demons have had in the past. I think you'll see a little bit more of an emphasis on the throwing game now because Kyle Manley, who was the quarterback's coach for the last several years, is a former quarterback. And so I think he would probably want to mix in the pass game a little bit more. And I think Jay Thomas understands that, the head coach, that this is a squad that needs to have a little bit more balance. If you're running for, you know, 180 to 200, 220 yards, that's great. But if you don't have the ability to also throw it, then there's a lot of times you're not going to be able to have success. I look at Lamar last year. The Demons ran for 400 yards, but at the same time, they were not able to throw the ball at all effectively. And so they ended up giving up a lead late, and next thing you know, here comes, because they can't convert, you know, everyone's stopping the run, they can't convert third downs late in the ball game, and so here comes the you know, Lamar with a comeback and a big win. So I think that you'll see a little bit more balance. There are definitely playmakers in the receiving core for this NSU team. The question is, you know, does J.D. Allman go the distance? Does it end up, you know, does Clay Holgerson come in and play? Is the redshirt freshman Kenny Sears, who's come on really well this camp? Who knows? I don't know how it all plays out. I just know J.D. will take the first snap of the game, and we'll see what happens from there.
Shifting over to the defensive side of the ball, I know that those of us in Ruston are well endeared to your defensive coordinator, Coach Brad Laird, who was the head coach, obviously, here at Ruston High School for a long time. It'll be really fun to have him back in Ruston and see him on that other sideline. But what, obviously, Louisiana Tech starting a brand-new quarterback as well in Jamar Smith. Obviously, he had an amazing game last year to start the season at Arkansas where they fell just short. But what is the Northwestern defense looking at when they prepare for a guy like Jamar, who's not like the Tech quarterbacks that are on film from years past?
Yeah, I think that's interesting, and I think it kind of plays two ways. You know, obviously with Jamar Smith, you're looking at a guy who's got that sort of dual threat ability that can escape the pocket, and you know, whether Skip chooses to actually, you know, design any runs for him or not, he's a guy that you've got to be wary of because his feet have the, you know, he just can get out of the pocket. He can certainly make plays happen with his feet in that regard. You know, the interesting thing is for me, for Brad Laird, is it's just such an attitude change for this defense. These guys have bought into what Coach Laird is bringing. It's his third stint as defensive coordinator at NSU, and his first two stints back in the Scott Stoker era, back in the early 2000s, and then with Bradley Del Pivito in the early 2010s, his defenses were always very successful. He's a great tactician. He has a good mind for defense. and it will be a much more aggressive defense than people are used to. It's what actually it's what Bradley Delpivito started when he sort of coined the term Purple Swarm. He started the idea of this is a team that's going to blitz, it's going to come after you. They're going to try to, you know, they're going to stop the run and make you try to beat them with the pass. And so I think you're going to see some of that from Brad Laird. And that is, you're going to see multiple blitzes from all sorts of different angles, from a lot of different places. And the reason he can do that is because NSU, who lost both starting corners last year, who were youngsters, played 2 years ago as freshmen and were ready to go as sophomores. And both of them went down, one before the season, one the first game of the season. And they really missed him for almost the entire year. Both of those guys are back. They've also recruited very well at corner. So there's going to be a lot of man coverage being played out there. So I think you're going to see the opportunity for Bradley to try to create pressure in the backfield, bringing that sort of purple swarm attack again.
We're looking forward to seeing that on the field on Saturday. All right, Patrick, before we let you go, we got to ask your unbiased prediction, if you can be unbiased, for Saturday night at Joe Ice Stadium in Ruston. Northwestern State comes in to face Louisiana Tech. Give us a quick synopsis of what you think is going to play out and the final score from that contest.
Well, you'll never hear me say the final score. That'll never happen. But I think if there's any opportunity for the Demons to have real success, it'll be early. And I listened to your interview with Skip, and I love Skip, by the way. He's one of my favorite coaches in all of football. And Skip mentioned, hey, you know, we don't really have a lot of film on these guys. We're not sure what's going to happen. And I think there's an opportunity for the Demons to make some hay early. I think NSU needs to get out to a fast start. I think if Tech jumps on them early, I think it could turn into a long night. But I think if NSU can sort of punch quickly with some unknowns, some things that they haven't seen on film, reactions from Tech that, you know, they're not necessarily expecting, then I think it can be a competitive game. Here's the deal. 2014 was 3 years ago. Most of the players that played in that game don't exist anymore in a roster or in a uniform for either of these teams. So I don't know if there's a ton of holdover emotionally or, you know, from that particular game. But at the same time, you know, obviously both of these teams have heard enough about 2014. I expect if the Demons can get out early, it'll be a competitive game. I think if Tech gets out early, it might get away from them.
It's the voice of the Northwestern State Demons, Patrick Netherton. Patrick, we're looking forward to seeing you on Saturday night in the brand new press box here at Joe A. Stadium, and we'll see you then.
Sounds good. I'm really looking forward to seeing the new digs.
Thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good.
Certainly some good stuff from the voice of the Demons, Patrick Netherton. Like you said, if Tech jumps on them early, it could be a long night for the Demons. But Brad Laird's going to try to mix things up defensively.
Yeah, and Skip Holt said it best. Anybody can be anybody on any given day, and we can't overlook that.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it. I mean, and, you know, we have a piece coming out tomorrow on BleedTechBlue.com about the keys to victory. We won't expound on it a whole lot right now, but when you look at the first game of the season, it's pretty simple. Win the turnover battle, especially against a lesser opponent. You win the turnover battle, you'll control the football game throughout. I'm excited to see if Jamar Smith can protect the football. I'm excited to see really what this whole Louisiana Tech team is going to look like.
Yeah, absolutely. You said it best, win the turnover battle, which is something that Louisiana Tech did not do in 2014 when the Demons came in here and knocked them off. And so it starts up front. It starts, like Skip said, with Jamar Smith making good decisions, not trying to be a hero, not trying to prove that he deserves to be the starter in the first quarter of the first game. It's about settling in, trusting your offensive line, trusting the weapons you have around you, and just making good throws, good decisions.
And it's so simple to say, do your job. But really, that's what it boils down to.
Absolutely.
Doing your job. We're going to take a quick timeout. Coming up after the break, we'll take a little break from football. We'll talk to the head coach of the Duncan Dogs, Eric Conkle. We'll talk about the 2017-2018 Bulldog basketball team and take a look at their schedule. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.
The deals are heating up during the summer clearance event at Brennan Dodge with 0% for 72 on 17 Jeep Cherokee Latitude. Get a 17 Jeep Renegade for only $17,900. 17 Grand Cherokee Limited has $3,750 in rebate. A 17 Jeep Cherokee Latitude is only $21,900. 17 Dodge Challenger is $24,900. And a 17 Grand Caravan is only $19,900. And the all-new 2018 Jeep Compass is now in stock. So don't miss the summer clearance event at Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke-cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
ESPN 97.7 is presented by the injury attorney Jeff Guerrero in Monroe. If you or someone you love has been injured in an accident or a victim of medical malpractice, you need to go Guerrero.
2017 Bulldog football season tickets are on sale now. Join us in Ruston for seven home games that include marquee opponents versus SEC power Mississippi State, an in-state battle versus Northwestern State, and conference foe Southern Miss. Save up to $84 when buying season tickets and be eligible for a tour of the new press box. Contact the ticket office at 318-257-3631 or LaTechSports.com/tickets to secure your season tickets today.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubak Ruston Monroe, ESPN 97.7.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm your host, Ben Carlisle, joined live in studio by my co-host, Sutton Davison. And we are now joined on the Fairway Carts hotline by head coach of the Duncan Dogs, Eric Conkle. How are you doing tonight, coach?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you doing tonight?
We're doing pretty good. Just to get things started, here we are just over 2 months to the start of the 2017-2018 campaign. I know you are really excited to have your guys back on campus and really put this team together.
We are. You know, we had a really good summer. We had guys really for almost 2 months. A few of the men are on campus right now that went home for a short period of time, came on back. But once school starts on September 7th, we'll get back at it. And then September 29th, we're in full practice mode. So it's going to be here before you know it.
Coach, the schedule for you guys just got released the other day, and we are excited about a lot of these out-of-conference games, starting with that Cancun tournament that is one of the premier tournaments in the country. I know you guys haven't had a ton of opportunity to leave the country and play in a lot of quality non-conference events, but, I mean, you get look at the opportunity to play a school like George Mason, one you're obviously really familiar with, as well as your assistant Tony Skin, and then, you know, a potential matchup with a team like Fresno State. How important is it for your young team to take a long road trip together to create some team bonding and have the opportunity to come together to start the season?
It's great. You know, first, it's a great challenge. There's going to be terrific teams there. Second, it's a great location. It's a terrific venue and a trip that we'll be able to experience together, one that the guys will always remember. And that's a big part of what we want to do here is create some lasting memories for our players when they think about their time at Louisiana Tech. But there's no question, third, that we'll be able to learn a whole lot about ourselves. And within those tournaments, in this one in particular, we'll get to play back-to-back nights against very, very good teams, teams that have experienced a lot of success in recent years, and it mimics conference play, where you got to be able to play one night and turn around and get ready and play the next night. So I think there's so many positives for in so many different ways.
And, Coach, when you look at the non-conference slate, especially the home games of teams you'll have coming to the TAC, you have to be excited about having a quality Ohio Valley Conference team in Southeast Missouri State, and maybe the premier home game of the year when SFA comes to Ruston on December the 6th?
Well, I think we've got a lot of really good home games, and it's always the challenge for us is to be able to bring people to home. Now, the Southeast Missouri game, the Montana State game, that's a part of the Cancun Challenge, so that was really one of the great benefits of participating in that event, getting two quality teams to come to our place. I mean, SEMO is really improving under Coach Ray, have had some really good players come through that program, and they'll be a terrific challenge. Montana State's got a premier guard in the country. And then, you know, games that I know our fans will recognize, especially the local ones, having Lafayette come to the TAC, as well as SFA, who's had such a great run in the last few years and will be very, very strong again in the Southland Conference. We're looking forward to some terrific ball games here at home.
Coach, a lot of people don't know teams like Southeast Missouri State or even a George Mason or Stephen F. Austin, but everybody knows the names Alabama. Everybody knows the name Texas. Everybody knows Avery Johnson. Everybody knows Shaka Smart. What's it look like to take road trips to a couple of bigger conference teams, not necessarily basketball powers in recent years, but ones that could help boost the RPI a little early and get a couple of quality wins under your belt as you prepare for a tougher conference schedule?
Well, anytime you go on the road, you're really in the lion's den of another team, and it's exactly what we need. We're going to play 9 really tough conference games in January and February and March, and these are great tests for us to be able to go to Alabama and then go to Texas. Both teams have had great recruiting classes, some guys that are being considered for as potential lottery picks next year, and then being coached by 2 terrific coaches that have had a lot of success. So varying styles, all those types of variables that you throw in there and you look at will help us participate in a great conference slate once we start Conference USA. And of course, we want to challenge and play very, very well both at Alabama and Texas.
Coach, when you look at Conference USA, you look at the likes of Middle Tennessee, you look at Old Dominion, you look at Marshall, you look at Western Kentucky under Rick Stansbury, Charlotte, UTEP, you guys, the league just seems to get deeper and deeper. What do you feel like you guys as a conference must do in order to make Conference USA more than just a one-bid league? Because I think it's certainly been proven in past years that the league is deserving.
Well, I think it's really a simple formula for us. We've got to do a great job in the non-conference. Come January 1, well, this year, December 28th, we have our first conference game. And really, once conference play begins for all 31 leagues, it's determined where your pecking order is. It's all based on how you do in the non-conference. So all 14 of us really need to do our very best to play well in November and December and represent our league. And then when we play each other in conference play, you know, all those games are great RPI games when we can take care of business in non-conference play.
Coach, talking about elevating perception, not only as a conference but as a team as a whole, you look at schools like George Mason that we touched on earlier, mid-major teams that – maybe don't have a ton of national name recognition, but walk into the NCAA tournament, win some games, even make a run at the Final Four like we saw in 06. I know you were a part of that team. Coach Tony Skin was a player on that team. How do you get to that level of having your guys go from being guys who are a team that's on the cusp every year, but one that jumps into that national tournament and one that even makes some noise when you get there?
Well, there's no question that it's really about playing your best basketball in March. And, you know, that particular George Mason team had some tough losses early in the year, and they really bounced back from it. They had a lot of seniors, guys that had experienced it, that were really motivated to finish their college career strong. But you got to have really good players. You've got to be getting better as the season progresses. And then, of course, you got to have a little luck on your side with matchup and so forth. You know, we want to be able to – we feel like our non-conference schedule and even the way our conference schedule has come out, that we're going to be tested. And if we can keep getting better as the season progresses, I think our league is going to be very, very strong, that no matter who makes it to the NCAA tournament, which has been proven the last couple of years, you can win games in that event. And, of course, we hope that that's us.
Coach, when you look at your roster, what you have coming back, obviously you lose your leading scorer, Eric McCree. He's going to be really tough to replace, if we're being honest. I don't know if he is replaceable. Who will you guys lean on this year? Obviously, Jacoby Boykins comes back for his senior year, and Daquan Bracey had an outstanding freshman season.
Well, there's no question you don't replace Eric McCree with just one person, just like you don't replace Alex Hamilton or Speedy Smith before that. You've got to have a collective presence and each guy stepping up their game and people emerging. And And that's what really this fall is all about, is seeing which guys have elevated throughout the summer as we start to really put our team together. But we're looking at a lot of different guys. Of course, Jacoby Boykins is our only senior. He had a terrific year last year. He's had an outstanding summer. And we're going to look to him for leadership on both sides of the floor, and along with some other guys that have had great experience, from Daquan Bracey and Derek Jean and Jalen Harris in the backcourt. And then in the front court with guys like Janiah White, who really emerged last year, Jalen Washington, who was really a Swiss Army knife for us as a sophomore last year. So there's some guys in our program that have experienced really tough competition in high-pressure moments in games, and we just feel like this summer, having gotten stronger, a little bit more experience under our belt, that we've got some really good leadership among our team.
Coach, you talked about Jacoby Boykins. I know he's a fan favorite here in Ruston, an exciting guy to watch for sure. I know he put his name out there to kind of gauge his interest in the NBA draft, kind of how teams thought about him, where he felt like he might go, and decided obviously to come back to school and be the lone senior on this team. What kind of leadership are you looking for from him, being that prototypical, you know, 3-and-D type, where he can play defense but can also, you know, turn around and be one of the best shooters in the country? And how are you excited to see him lead this team as the lone senior this season?
Well, Jacoby's had a great offseason. You know, he took advantage of this rule to be able to get some feedback from NBA teams. He had an NBA workout and got some terrific information from them. And he's really turned that into a great summer. He is one of the most competitive guys I've ever been around. He is all about winning and being his very best and demanding that of his teammates. And that's great to be around. And I'm excited about the next jump for him. You can see every single year that he's been here at Tech, he's improved from freshman to sophomore to junior, and we're certainly expecting that into his senior year in leading this ball club.
And one final question, Coach. When you look at your schedule, obviously it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a long 30-game grind. When you look at the schedule from a goal perspective, you know, in the NFL they talk about breaking it down into many four-game seasons. Is it as simple in basketball as a non-conference and a conference slate where you guys gauge your success, or do y'all break the schedule down into smaller terms of success?
I really look at it as the year is in several segments. You know, you have the games in the non-conference, conference play, and then postseason, but then you also have the other parts of the off season. But we really just look at each day to find ways to improve, gain information after each game. We're going to have two closed-door scrimmages in the fall against very good teams to be able to just collect a lot of information about our team, our players, and how we can get better. And then as we progress through the season and play these different teams with different styles, different sizes, and so forth, we'll be able to just keep learning, keep retooling, keep refining, just keep getting better, so that as we start playing teams that we're very familiar with in Conference USA, we can be at our very best and hopefully be really hitting on all cylinders come March.
Coach Eric Conkle, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I walked into the TAC today, heard some basketballs bouncing. Really got me excited for what you guys have for this upcoming season. Thanks for walking through the schedule with us, and we look forward to talking to you more as the season gets closer. Hopefully we'll see you at the Joe this Saturday to root on Skip Holtz and his squad.
Well, you can count on seeing me and my family at the Joe this Saturday. We're thrilled about the school year starting and all of our sports playing, and it's a great time to be at Tech, and thank you guys so much for all that you do.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
Eric Conkle, head coach of the Bulldogs, joining us on the Fairway Carts hotline. Just a quick reminder, you can text us on the Fairway Carts text line at 888-993-7762. I don't know about you, but I'm really excited. You know, obviously football season's not even here, but Coach Conkle's basketball team, they lose just Eric McCree from last year, so they should be very talented.
Yeah, one thing that's a common thread between Tech football and Tech basketball is that the standard has been raised, with guys like Mike White coming in here and making this program a contender year after year. It's important to put a product on the floor that the people of Ruston and the people of Louisiana Tech can be proud of. And I know Coach Eric Conkle has done that year in and year out since he's been here. Obviously looking forward to getting over that hump, winning a conference championship, making it to the big dance, and maybe even making some noise.
And, yeah, we're going to take a quick our last time out. When we come back after the break, we'll take a quick look around Conference USA. We'll look at
this week's matchup against Northwestern State.
We'll make our season make our predictions for Northwestern State, and maybe the Bleed Tech Blue hot take of the week.
Get
You're
your
listening
fire suits ready.
To Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.
I want my seafood grilled and my burgers lean, like that Cajun flavor on my onion rings. I like some fries and slaw, catfish fillets, down home cooking from Scotts today. I like to hit the drive-thru when I can't stay, for gumbo, seafood, or etouffee. I want my oysters fried, hush puppies just right, down home cooking from Scotts tonight.
Scotts Catfish and Seafood, Ruston, West Monroe.
Hunters, get ready. Louisiana has declared this your weekend. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is the annual sales tax holiday on all hunting equipment and ATVs. And in McKinney's and Ruston, you'll find it all under one roof. Guns, bows, stands, gun safes, boots, apparel, and more is all tax-free. And you'll pay just 3% tax on four-wheelers and side-by-sides. Save hundreds this Friday and Saturday till 6 and Sunday 1 to 5 at McKinney's and Ruston, your outdoor superstore.
At First National Bank, part of being the Uncommon Bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Wake up to local sports talk. Jeff Guerrero, the injury attorney, presents The Morning Drive, 7 to 9 a.m. weekdays. Also brought to you by Toyota of Ruston and Car King in Monroe on ESPN 97.7. Time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries, just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Here we are. It's time to wrap it up. We're going to take a quick look around Conference USA. First things first, Rice traveled to Australia last week. And let's just say they should have stayed home in Houston. I know there's a lot going on in Houston right now, a lot of sad things that could have been certainly weighing on their minds. Stanford demolishes the Owls 62-7.
As far as money games go, that one better have been a $30 million money game. To take your team to Australia, although it ended up not being such a bad thing getting out of the area while kind of all the chaos was going on, Stanford unravels Rice 62-7.
Yeah, another quick look. Thursday night, FIU will go on the road at Central Florida. Butch Davis in his first game as the coach of the Panthers. Friday, Charlotte, new to Division One.
Yeah.
They'll take on an Eastern Michigan squad that had some success last year, but I think it should be a winnable game. It's the MAC. A little bit of MAC-tion on Friday night. also Friday, the Fighting Lane Kiffins
From Florida Atlantic
will get their shot at Navy, a Navy team that Tech defeated last year in the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl 48-45. Looking at Saturday's action, UAB will welcome their program back after 3 years of sitting on the bench, quite literally. They'll host Alabama A&M. UTEP will travel up to Oklahoma to collect a paycheck over the course of four quarters. Southern Miss hosts Kentucky in an intriguing SEC Conference USA matchup.
They're playing their Mississippi State game 1 week before we are.
Yes. Albany will travel to Old Dominion. They will likely get it handed to them. Miami of Ohio at Marshall. That's an intriguing game in the conference. Doc Holliday is looking to get some things turned around at Marshall. Northwestern State, of course, travels to Louisiana Tech. Lamar from the Southland Conference will go on the road to face North Texas in what should be an easy victory for the Mean Green. Houston and UTSA have been postponed. They'll look to reschedule at a later date. Eastern Kentucky at Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky will roll.
Eastern Kentucky versus Western Kentucky. That's a barn burner.
Two directional Tennessee schools that not a whole lot of people care about.
Jordan Berry, punter for the Pittsburgh Steelers from Eastern Kentucky.
Vanderbilt at Middle Tennessee Saturday night. That should be an intriguing matchup as Derek Mason brings his Commodores into an empty Middle Tennessee stadium to take on Brent Stock's Steelers.
I don't know. Murfreesboro is only about an hour from Nashville. I think the Vanderbilt faithful might just get off the couch and go see that game.
Vandy's garbage. Middle Tennessee's fans don't care about Middle Tennessee. It'll be empty. I think Middle Tennessee will win that game.
Yeah, honestly, Tony Franklin is never one to look past.
All right, let's take a real quick look at special teams.
Yeah, we've touched on offense and we've touched on defense, but there's a couple of intriguing stories on Louisiana Tech's special teams that have me interested. And the first one, obviously we've talked about the depth chart being released. I know that for those of us who have been around the program for a while, for a long time we were used to extreme stability at the punter position with Ryan Allen, who's just filling up his safe with Super Bowl rings as we speak. And you know, a guy who I witnessed kick an 88-yard punt, flip the field quite literally. And then the last couple of years have been everything but that. Absolute instability, not able to flip fields, punting things out of bounds, 20-yard punts. And it's been tough to watch. So this year, obviously, more of the unknown. We've got a Ryan Allen body double in Davin Dyer, a guy from Australia who is 6'4", 230 pounds. Looks like Ryan Allen back there, but can he kick like Ryan Allen?
Yeah, we'll see. Dyer has struggled some with his consistency, but there's no doubt he has a big leg. He's won the punting job over junior college transfer Brady Farlow, who is also a place kicker. He'll back up Jonathan Barnes. I expect you'll see both Dyer and Absolutely. Farlow at some point. And then let's talk a little bit about the long snapper situation. Coach Holtz mentioned last night on Inside Tech Football that
this is my favorite story.
This is an awesome story. Former Louisiana Tech pitcher Cameron Link is the new deep snapper for the Dogs in 2017.
This is fantastic. Cameron Link, correct me if I'm wrong, Ben. He was like a Friday starter for the baseball
team. Yeah, he was a Saturday, Sunday
Saturday
guy.
Starter.
Definitely saw a lot of success.
A baseball player through and through. A guy that transferred in a couple years ago without thinking about football whatsoever. But this is a great story. Cameron Link lived with Louisiana Tech kicker Jonathan Barnes, and apparently Jonathan Barnes had been unhappy with some of some of the snaps that had been put down. And he came home and was venting to it about his roommate Cameron Link. And I think Cameron Link went on to tell him that, hey, I snapped a little bit in high school. And so the two proceeded to go to the backyard, and Jonathan Barnes has Cameron Link snap to him in the backyard, sees him snap about three or four balls, calls Coach Skip Holtz and says, Coach, I found my long snapper. It's my roommate, Bulldog pitcher Cameron Link. And now Link's the starting deep snapper for Louisiana Tech this Saturday. 6'2", a buck 85. I am excited to see what Cameron Link has, you know, to offer at the deep snapper position. I'm not sure he's going to bust a wedge wide open over there, but it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, it is going to be fun to watch. That's such a cool story. It's not a story that you see too often in college football, so we definitely had to share that story.
Out of baseball eligibility, but one more year to play ball.
Absolutely. Now, it's time.
It's time.
Here we are, wrapping up the show. Got just a few more minutes left on air. It's prediction time. Sutton, Saturday night inside Joe Ayi Stadium. Should be a nice crowd. It's looking like Hurricane Harvey is going to be out of here.
Yeah.
Should be a great crowd. How do you think it's going to turn out?
First of all, we can't stress enough. I mean, Coach Holtz, he said this in his press conference today. It was honestly inspiring. He said that he has dreams at night about a day when Louisiana Tech is a school that has people standing outside of the stadium holding up two fingers saying, I need two, buying tickets instead of selling tickets, and big red sold out signs in the ticket windows. That's a day that Coach Skip Holtz dreams about. And so why not make his dreams come true these first two games, come out to the game, season opener, Northwestern State, an in-state rival. The weather should be fine. It'll be nice and cool and cloudy. and we've got Louisiana Tech football back. But as far as my prediction goes, man, you know what? This is going to be fun. I agree with Coach Holtz. And it's anybody any given day that can come and win. We saw that in 2014. There's never been a better example of don't take anybody lightly. Come in prepared. Come in ready to play. But with that said, I think that brand new quarterback Jamar Smith's going to do what he's done, what we've seen him do in the little bit of action that he's been in. And he's going to throw for, we'll say, 260 yards and a couple touchdowns, one to our new favorite target, Teddy Veal. And the Bulldogs are going to walk away with, I'll say, a 35-17 win against Northwestern State.
Interesting. I thought you would see the Bulldog offense score a little bit more. I kind of have a slightly different opinion. I think that after the 2014 debacle, which saw Northwestern State kind of strut their stuff through Joe Ia Stadium, you know, it was a big win for them. But, you know, no reason to taunt Tech for years to come like they have. I think you'll see Skip Holtz. Let me put it this way. I think it's going to get ugly. I think you're going to see something along the lines of 56-14. I think Jamar Smith, like you said, 260 yards, 2-3 touchdowns. I don't think you'll see him much past the midway point of the third quarter.
I would love to see Weston Elliott.
Yeah, I think Elliott will get in there. And one thing I'm excited to see is that Bulldog defense. I think you'll see him flying around all night. I think you could see Jalen Ferguson collect 2 or 3 sacks, although I don't think you'll see him a whole lot in the second half. But I think it's going to be a very convincing victory for the Bulldogs.
I hope you're right. The only reason I said what I said is because we heard Skip Holtz say it on our show. They're not going to try to do everything all at once. I heard him say today, it may take a quarter or so for this team to settle in, for this brand new offense, brand new quarterback to settle in and to do what they do. So I think give them a quarter. You know what my hot take of the week is? This is my hot take of the week, and we'll hear yours. And I'm not trying to diss anybody, but we're going to see a scoreless first quarter at the Joe. A scoreless first quarter, 0-0. And then Louisiana Tech will put the pedal on the floor. Jamar Smith will settle in. His running backs will get him going. His new receivers will make big plays, and we'll start to see that offense roll a little bit.
Interesting hot take, but you're wrong.
So what's your hot take of the week?
My hot take of the week. I know I mentioned it earlier. Jalen Ferguson, 17.5 sacks, top 10 draft pick overall in 2018. He begins it four nights from now. Saturday night inside Joe Ia Stadium. J.D. Allman leaves Joe Ia Stadium.
Can't sleep.
More than thankful that he's done with the game as Jalen Ferguson collects 3.5 sacks. One's a strip sack that Amik Robertson goes to the house with.
Wow, that is the most detailed hot take I've ever heard in my life. That is almost like you're looking into a crystal ball type of hot take. I hope you're right. Thanks so much for joining us on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. It's been a pleasure as always. We can't wait until Saturday night when Northwestern State comes to town to face the 2017 Louisiana Tech Bulldogs. Skip Holtz, Jamar Smith, and company will for sure have the medicine for what is to be possibly a rainy weekend. But yep. Hopefully skies move out of the way and we'll have some clear skies for football.
Yeah, we'll be back next Tuesday night to recap Northwestern State, give you a preview.
Not quick.
Of one of the biggest games in school history inside Joe Ia Stadium with Mississippi State coming to town. So be sure to join us. You've been listening tonight to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm your host, Ben Carlisle, joined live in studio by my co-host, Sutton Davison. We want to thank John Tabor on the board.
And before you go, be sure to join us at bleedtechblue.com if you haven't already. We've got all the insider information before it comes out to the public. And right now is our best time ever to sign up, our best deal ever. When you sign up today using the code BULLDOGS3050, that's BULLDOGS3050, not only do you get a 30-day free trial, but then if you stay on with us after that, it's 50% off for your first year. So you're really only paying $45 for an entire year of coverage.
Nothing better.
There's no better time to sign up for Bleed Tech Blue. We'll have it all for you. Come hang with us on the board, and we will see you next Tuesday night right here on ESPN 97.7. For Ben Carlisle, I'm Sutton Davison.
See ya!
Listen for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Go deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting with your host, Ben Carlisle. Also brought to you by National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Delta Broadband, Ideal Portable Buildings, Brister Smokehouse, and Fairway Carts. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.